Sometimes discipline can feel so good. I'm really
assured.
I would like to welcome Dorothy Imogene Shepherd, our child of honor here today. Today's baptism will be the debut baptism here in the Church of Stop Shopping. The parents are here, of course. The grandparents are as well. We wish to welcome our St. Wells Pollock. St. Wells will be beatified tonight. We want to live up to your example, Wells, and we want to offer some ideas for Dorothy's future. Wells may be your role model for Dorothy. Hallelujah. We also want to wish a saint of the church who preceded you into the canonized halls of heaven, St. Kurt Vonnegut. We want to wish Father Kurt, St. Kurt, health and Godspeed. He could not be with us this evening. Hallelujah. Amen. We miss him. A great peace worker. Brother Rick Altick on the piano. Thank you, Rick. Rick is not a saint. He's not a saint, and he doesn't have any kids, but he has some, you know, he could do it, I think. We're here tonight in Tribekistan. We're here to try to make peace. We're here taking responsibility for where we are. We're just a few blocks from this place. And at the conclusion of our worship tonight, we will go there. And we will go there in a way that I hope in the course of tonight's worship, what we can do there will be clearly explained to all of us. It will become something that may inspire us. We want to conjure peace. It's been 2 weeks since the 15th Saturday of February. And things have already been shifting. And despite some encouraging things from Turkey, from Russia, the possibility of some opposition still, there's a shifting back. And we all feel that. And what can we do? Can 20, 30, 50 million of us march again? Tonight we're going to try to conjure the communication of peace. And in my welcome, I'd like to leave you with just one example. The kind of magic that we have to enter into tonight. Hallelujah. We're flanked on over here in our playground area by a child who has not yet been baptized, and clearly the evil is showing. I'm sorry. Can I apologize to the parents immediately and abjectly? Abjectly. Hallelujah. We love all of you over there in that corner. Amen. There was an experiment. I would like to leave you with this thought before we proceed. There was an experiment in Switzerland 7 or 8 years ago in which they took two electrons that did an identical dance with each other inside a molecular compound. And they shot these electrons down two different wires, separated them from each other, and sent them to opposite sides of a Swiss Alp. And those electrons, one would think, were no longer in communication with one another. No matter whatever they did with one of the electrons, moving it around, The other electron, with no apparent gap in time, but rather simultaneously, the other electron did the same thing. This experiment has been done repeatedly, and it cannot be explained. We have to enter into a conjuring to make peace. We have to discover the things in ourselves that are beyond marches, the things in the air. We have to find a way to communicate peace. We have to listen to Emma Goldman, who said, "Love defies laws." We have to find peace in love tonight. Can we do it, Trent? And now it has come time in our service for the recitation of the We Believes. We call it, Can You Believe This? I hope that some of you have enough light to see what you believe in. And Brother James will lead us in the We Believes. Try to sound like Castrati. Until you stop your bombing it. Well, I believe in it, but the grammar is upsetting. what we're trying to say here is we're trying to say we won't shop. We won't shop. What? Yes, yes. We will continue to stop our shopping until you. Thank you, Brother Derek, in the back row. Hallelujah. He does copyright work. He also caters and, you know, attempts. I want to whisper something with you. Will you whisper something with me? No shopping till you stop the bombing. Can you whisper that? No shopping till you stop the bombing. No shopping till you stop the bombing. No.
what?
No, shock me till you stop the mind.
No,
no, shock me till you stop the mind. No, shock me till you stop the mind. No, no, shock me till you stop the mind. No, shock me till you stop the mind. No, shock me till you stop the mind.
I'm missing a prop. I'm supposed to have this flag-sized handkerchief. If I really was Jimmy Swagger, you know, it would come out, billow out. And sweating with the devil here. Hallelujah. I know.
You're not heavy. You're my brother.
Amen. Oh, we need to move straight to the baptism. No, we have the imminence of. Will you please,
parents,
Benjamin Caroline Shepherd, will you please? I've just gotten this emergency note here. Ben and Caroline are longtime members of the community who have been activists. I met Ben. He was co-founder of Sex Panic. That's perhaps what resulted in the child. But also, Reclaim the Streets and other organizations. We're going to jail together. Is that right, Ben? Advice. We wish you music, we wish you beauty, we wish you health. You have wonderful parents. We wish you activism.
Yes.
We wish you the privilege of living an unmediated life. Dorothy, we'll do something about those corporations. Now, Derek would like to sing a song in honor of your teacher.
Y'all say amen.
Amen.
You know, Dorothy? Sometimes I feel like a Disney-less child. A long way from the young woman with her 17 cents an hour. Sometimes I feel like a gaffer kidless child, a long way from the oldest living thing got chopped, chainsawed. Yes, a long way from the oldest thing alive got chainsawed. Sometimes I feel like a Starbuckless child, a long way from my genetically engineered Frappuccino. Sometimes I feel like a Wall Streetless child, a long way from my great white father's casino. I said a long way from my great white father's casino. Sometimes I feel like a Starbuckless child, like a Disney's child, like a Gap child. Sometimes I feel like a Disney's child, a long way from my $29.95 Pocahontas pajamas. And sometimes I feel, y'all, like a gap-ridden child, a gapless one, a long way from speechless fluorescent chain stores. And sometimes I feel like a Disney-less. Sometimes I feel like a Starbuckless. Sometimes I feel like a Gapless. Sometimes I feel like a Pentagonless child, a long way from bombing the kids of Baghdad. A long way from bombing the kids of Baghdad. Sometimes I feel like a Disney-less child. Sometimes I feel like an American-less child. Sometimes I feel like a nameless child. Sometimes I feel like a child who grow up.
James, let's sing a song to Dorothy. We have a song for Dorothy. Brother James. No solos, it's all of you.
Thank you.
And now it has come time in the Stop Shopping service to canonize, to bring into the holy state of sainthood Brother Wells. Hallelujah.
We have him.
Sinners are coming from the cold.
Excuse us.
Of course, Wells, unlike many saints, is alive. Yeah. In the Church of Stop Shopping, we do not kill our saints before we put them on the dashboard. Hallelujah. Well, you'll look really good on that dashboard there with your head bobbing around. Amen. We would like to invite the people who nearly died with Wells that day when the cops mishandled him, broke his arm. They were in front of... Well, I'm going to let you tell the story. Would everybody who was there that day please come up in front? Come up in front. Experiment in collective storytelling. It's going to be Rashomonic. Everybody here probably has a different way of remembering this incredible political action that we're so proud of. But hallelujah. Sean, you start the process. You set it up.
What happened? What happened? Tell it, Brother Sean.
Well, I hardly remember the most clearly because for the most part I wasn't.
What?
I wasn't there. Luckily, my bathtub had flooded the night before, so I had to wash a huge bundle of towels, so I conveniently left right when the cops arrived.
Louder!
Well,
how
did we start it? Well, it came to me. I was asleep one night, and I just moved to Astoria, and in my sleep, I realized that I was visited by the ghost of Louise Brooks, who, she might be still alive, but nevertheless, I was visited by her, and I realized, like, I'd moved right by this theater that was built in 1920. It was the first United Artists Theater. United Artists just started the year before by Charlie Chaplin, and
Mary
Pickford. Yes, I know. Look, I've been in school for so long that I know. Anyway, so this is the birth of cinema. And I grew up around a movie palace, and it was a place where it was like my church when I grew up. It was my church of the 20th century where I would go with 2,000 other people and be with them and see the films of Fellini and see the films of Bergman and see the films of 1950s Hollywood. And this is what this now defunct theater in Astoria represented to me. It represented a place of community that, I mean, was around before I was even alive. And it's something I've always tried to spread.
What's the address of the place?
What?
What are the cross streets?
Steinway and 30th Avenue. And it's a huge,
anybody
beautiful
know?
Building. It's
yeah.
a huge,
anybody?
Amazing building.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, the theater was dead. It was closed down in December of, 2001. And it was being subdivided into Duane... there was a Duane Reade and just these paralegal offices of Washington Mutual.
Duane Reade!
And so we wanted to...
Hallelujah!
So we found ourselves in thinking about street performance in the mediated age, and decided to go out there and sort of collectively remember what cinema is to community and sort of these specific beautiful details, architecture and space, meeting spaces. So we went out there and sort of reenacted the spirit of Sunset Boulevard. Which, as you all probably know, in its own way sort of represents a nostalgia for a time past. And so we were out there looking very glamorous, like movie stars. And the film camera and everything. And we sort of, it was sort of like a morning. We had candles and were dressed very glamorously and were reciting lines, not being disruptive. And suddenly a fleet of police officers, I think 10, 15, I don't know, they're just big, scary presence came upon us and told us to leave immediately. And at which point we all started to go, and they've been very aggressive with us and eventually threatened to arrest all of us. And I'm just gonna wanna the
This is the saint himself. Well,
now, I like being a starlet as much as anyone else, especially for such a wonderful group of performers as we have here. And I think it's important to note that I was definitely dressed as a starlet. I had a beautiful maroon gown and a hard hat and glitter, Sean's suit jacket. And I was handing out flyers for this performance, handing out flyers for the memorial service inside of the Duane Reade and outside of the Duane Reade. And when the police showed up, I had been handing out flyers inside the Duane Reade, and I left the Duane Reade to meet them out front, spoke with them a little bit, introduced myself. They introduced themselves, and they asked us to leave, asked me to leave, and I said, fine, you know, this performance is over. The show's over, you're not the audience, you know. We're not looking for high drama today, but the stakes were definitely raised very high. As I was leaving, walked about halfway down the block to where the rest of my performers were stationed by a small candles, a small altar. I think what Reverend Billy says about conjuring peace is really important, and I think that was part of what we were trying to do that day, was conjure a spirit, a beautiful spirit of love in the sight of this corporate takeover of such a beautiful space and such an important piece of history. And as I knelt down there by the candles, about four police officers came up. I stood up once again to greet them, and they pushed me against the scaffolding, the construction scaffolding of the side of the drugstore, grabbed me from behind, wrapped my arm around a metal pole around my back, and pushed my arm really hard. It broke in two places. This took place in about 3 seconds, 3 to 5 seconds, the whole incident. There was really no words spoken to me. They didn't say that they were going to arrest me or anything like that. They just grabbed me, broke my arm.
Are they off the police force?
No, there's an internal investigation going on right now, although it's going a little bit slower, I think, than I would like. No, they gave me a ride to the precinct where they handcuffed me, where they left my arm behind my back. So it was dangling down, broken. Handcuffed both my arms behind my back to a horizontal bench
inside the holding cell, where I was for several hours before they even unhandcuffed me long enough to bring my arm around to the front of my body. Yeah, but they weren't too interested in having EMS see me very quickly. And after a couple more hours, I'd say about a total of 4 hours, they did finally take me to the hospital. What followed was a 5-day incarceration. 3 days before I was allowed a phone call. 5 days before I was allowed to see a lawyer. Pretty much being, I mean, it was really horrible. I don't know.
Is there something that we could do?
Yeah, right.
Are you going to trial? Here, this is another person. Carlo. Oh,
well,
Peter.
Yes. Well, Carlo was also dressed in a lovely ensemble, and he was also thrown to the ground and handcuffed and put into a squad car and also taken to the police station. It's interesting to note that the only people they grabbed were the men in dresses. Wells has been charged with several counts of assault, actually, and that's the big thing that's going on and going to be ongoing, depending on whether or not he accepts some sort of plea bargain in order not to have a civil suit brought against the city. But there is something that can be done, I think, that might help them to drop the charges, and that's to call the Queensboro President Office. The Chief of Staff is Alexandra Rosa, and she is at 718.
Hold on.
And Bassam, we'll post this near the door.
Yeah, I'll put this on the door. I only brought one copy. No, there's no website for this incident.
It's Queens.
Oh, there is a website for the Queensboro President Office. Alexander Rosa, Chief of Staff. The phone number is 718-286-3000. You can demand that Lieutenant Pisano, who was the officiating officer at the incident, be held accountable for his mishandling of the event, and that the officers that inflicted the injuries be severely reprimanded, and that all charges be dropped.
That's right.
This happened on December 15th, on a Sunday, Sunday afternoon. And Wells Pollock is the person that's being charged.
I do just want to mention about the charges. What happened was, essentially they placed false charges on me. A disorderly conduct charge saying that I was in the streets swearing, saying fuck you, fuck the NYPD, fuck everybody. Which is simply not true. Even though if I were to do such a thing, it's protected First Amendment speech. A resisting arrest charge, which obviously, when they break your arm, I mean, you really can't resist that much anymore. And then 3 counts of assaulting police officers. I think the most poetic one is the one where I throw a police officer into a metal pole. And he apparently gets to go to the hospital right away. But I do want to say, like Reverend Billy mentioned something about me being a role model, and I'm really unsure about that, and I was trying to think about how I might actualize that.
See, the reason that we should take an example from Wells, that day, which was fearless, had no fear whatsoever, was on the street, owned that street, and stood up to the police, who were huge, big white monsters, and they came and broke him, you know, because he dared to be in the street with a dress and is standing up for his rights. So,
St. Wells Pollock.
Thank you.
Thank you.